You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can call me or text 573-4BREAD-4. You can also email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So what do we talk about today? I've had some questions about low mood, depression, Catholicism, confession, suffering, joy. How do these all work together in mental well-being, mental health, and the walk of faith? How do we embrace suffering and yet not wallow in it? How do we tell the difference between something that is a holy walk and something that is just some mental health issue? And not just, man, those can be really, really disastrous. They can hurt. They can lead us very astray. And they sometimes can be deadly, as we know. So how do you tell the difference? It intellectually is a pretty simple matter. However, experiencing the ethereal and being able to describe it in words and put them in little neat boxes is a little more difficult. So how do you know when you are feeling great and on top of the world? It's an inspiration. It's part of God lifting you up. Or it could be all the above. Or how do you know then where is he when you are crashed down? Now, there are different categories of approach. There are those of you who, when things are great, you just thank God and you click your heels and you're just all full of fire and love. And then when things go really badly, where are you? Where are you? Now that is the age. That's most of us somewhere in the range. Some people are very black and white. Other people have different levels of tolerance. Just like with anything else in life, we all have our own level of tolerance. Sometimes we get so much sustenance and so much nourishment from listening to learned priests, let's say, or learned devout nuns, or reading about the saints, or a spiritual director. We get that sustenance. And then sometimes it just seems like mouths going, and we can't grasp it. And they always say, well, you know, it's not about the feeling. Well, it's not about the feeling, but what if it's not about the feeling and it's not about the making sense? And it's just so far beyond you. You might as be, you know, it's like having a box of cereal that you don't like sitting there on your table. It means nothing to you. It's like chatter. It's airwave. It's nothing. So what do you do in those situations and how do you navigate through it? Well, first, which is, well, I don't want to make it sound trite. So therefore, when I say that, it's probably got the danger of being trite. You just float through it. You just navigate through it. If nothing else, you can grasp onto this too shall pass, because it will. And a lot of us will roll our eyes and say, you know, I'm so tired of saying this too shall pass. When is it really going to pass? When is it really going to pass? Well, the answer is your situation will pass. There's no two ways about it. Part of what I find problematic. It's joyful when you can carry or help carry someone through. At the same time, there are those times when you can't. When people just go, they slip away. And that's a tough one. That's a really tough one to have to understand and deal with. So oftentimes we're at a loss for words. We don't know what to say. We don't even know what to say to ourselves, because where is the faith I had yesterday? Where is that blush that I had? Where are those people that told me, just trust God, he'll put someone in your path. You will have that angel. You will have that person that'll pop up, you know, and then you have no one. Or the person that popped up you thought was an angel turned out to be a wolf in disguise. So How do we know? I've known many a woman, a devout woman, prayer life, prayer group every single day, rosary every single day, to be taken advantage of, and having been out of some pretty biblical words, have her wedding rings gone, and her she was just somehow felt, quote, the spirit to give away her wedding ring. Now, can God turn those things around? Sure. But what happened in that instance? The person who was the receiver of the wedding ring was a stranger. The receiver of the wedding ring began to morph in front of her own eyes. It was her own imagination, her own floatiness, that, and her own desire to do the right thing, that allowed her to be in a situation where she gives away her wedding rings. Now, she didn't know where they went. And again, yeah, you know, sometimes it sounds like the catch-all phrase, well, God will turn that into good. Well, you know, in some ways, those are our teaching lessons in life. They are teaching lessons in life. But can we guard against some of them? How do you guard against some of them? St. Paul said, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves. So if you are a little trained puppy, gentle little puppy all the time, well, that's all you have. Can you be as wise as a serpent? Can you be as strong as a lion? Jesus was a lion. He was both the lion and the lamb. He's the lion. He's the warrior. They send warriors. God sends warriors for you. God asks you to be a warrior. So how do you do that? Well, the one good thing, there's many good things, but the one good thing we can always count on is that as long as you're breathing, your next breath brings a new opportunity. So that we got. So that's great. And with that, as I said in the beginning of the program, some of the ways to discern these things are simple. They may not always be easy because they are unfamiliar. And so what do you do with, how do you counteract something that's unfamiliar? You get familiar with it. Now, it doesn't mean that you go down and get familiar with all the cons that are going to con you out of everything you own. What it does mean, though, is you begin to get familiar with you. You begin to get familiar with you. Where am I in those moments? What did I feel? What did I learn? And you can ask yourself all day long, is this exactly what God wanted me to do? Well, you may not be able to answer that question because we don't understand all the time what or why. And sometimes when we get a favorable answer or something happens in our life favorably, we attribute it to God. And if things don't go favorably, we attribute it to sin and error. But what is favorably? If we're really supposed to be honed in this furnace, if we're really supposed to be all the dross taken away and we're supposed to come out these shining, gleaming gold pieces, then you can't do that without some kind of abrasion, whether it's through running water or whether it's through fire, whatever way it is, you got to lose a part of yourself in order to give away to the golden, shining being inside of you, which means you are to be used. You are to be displayed. You are to be utilized. Sometimes your currency, God's currency. You give up something so that he can use it. He can purchase something through you. But in order to do that, you have to be constantly on this road of perfection. So now let's get back to practical. Let's get back to the practical. How do we, when we are on these cusps of mental well-being, where we get loose focus with everything and we feel mentally overwhelmed and we just can barely remember that yesterday we felt like we could handle it all. We felt fine. But today, we just feel buried, overwhelmed, isolated, alone, out of the loop, abandoned, and we go and we realize that there are some things in the mental health world that we can grasp onto, all the while we're grasping onto certain things in the spiritual world. Hopefully, a lot of it is just churning around and remorphing and transforming and transmutating inside of you so that you will grow to be the bigger, better person. So how do we do that? We have to be able to reflect what is important, meaningful reflection for understanding so you can better shed that old skin versus morbid introspection. Do we just keep going down and down and down and down? And that's a tip off. Do we sense in our bodies the sensation of going down, 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 spiraling down, down, down to a smaller and smaller concentric circles? Do we find ourselves actually physiologically looking down? Do we find ourselves, our heads kind of going down? Or are we looking up? Is our chin up? Is our head up? Are our eyes up? Why do they say chin up? Chin up, because you're looking up and toward. There's a physiological change in you when you do that. And so when you do that, you can positively reflect. Sometimes you have to go down, but you positively reflect, not put a good spin on it, but actually put your teeth into some of the hard stuff with another person, a good spiritual guide or a therapist, somebody who you know, you trust, and who is investing the time in you. And you take it all on the table so you can view it and you can discard that which is just hanging on to you. Old things in a closet you haven't even seen for a long time. Time to clean out those closets. So we're going to look at that. How do you do that? And then how do you get that important reflection and then carry that on through the day so that you arise and wake from your own ashes? Well, this is Dr. Michelle. We're going to get that on the other side of the break, talking about this reflection and transformation. See you on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Back. I am Dr. Michelle. You are listening to Dr. Michelle Live, and you are walking on this road with me. 573-4BREAD-4. You can call, you can text. You can also email me anytime, DM live, breadboxmedia.com. Find the past podcast. Always go on these themes. Sometimes I'll go for a week on a certain theme. And everything is interwoven. And you know, you never, as I've said before, in some ways, you can never say too much about or look at it in any stagnant way, mental well-being, because we are in these finite bodies and every sleeping and every waking moment, every single one is part of our mental health. And our physical health declines when our mental health declines. Our mental health declines when our physical health declines. It is not an either or proposition. So let's kind of combine these. I've been doing a lot, we know since Lent, I've been putting a lot of the spirituality in here, mainly because I get frustrated sometimes with when I'm looking at topics, I'm looking at situations that are going on, and there is lip service to the ethereal and to faith beliefs and religious beliefs, and everyone says, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And a lot of that usually can distill down, if we're just going to go, let's just go down to say what we're saying. 9 times out of 10, when people say that, I've been disappointed by the religious. All I see is a bunch of mouths moving and a bunch of rituals that don't make any sense to me. And there's a bunch of hypocrites there too. Or I was molested by somebody in the church, or my father, the preacher, ran off with the choir master. And now, you know, I don't want any part of it. I want spirituality. And sometimes it's laziness. Sometimes it's like, oh, you know what? I don't get this, so I'm going to commune in nature. Well, God is a big God, and God's going to walk with you through that. Absolutely. So how do you take care of your own mental health in this spiritual aspect as well as the physical aspect? Well, let's talk more today about important reflections. Now, I've talked to you a lot about the living word, and the living word to me, how when I, during my reconversion, what it came out for me, I didn't even understand it. One day I said, oh yeah, that must be what the living word's all about. I would just find that it just was natural when I first was reconverted to coming back and just opening and saying, what do you want me to know? With a little prayer, what do you want me to see today? And then sometimes I wouldn't get it. And so I read a little part of it and then I would say something else. I don't get that. I don't get how I'm supposed to relate to something that happened in a little tribal war 4,000 years ago. However, there's probably a little nugget in there for me somewhere, of course. So, you know, you just go again and open up and you will, something's there for you. Now, sometimes you're just hit with a beam of light and other times you're like, this isn't doing me any good, God. I can't deal with this. I don't know how to deal with this. What the heck am I supposed to do? Well, today was one of those mornings and in what being one of those mornings, I thought, well, of course, this is, you all have one of these mornings, just like my one of these mornings. So today, I start with the usual praising, you know, praise you. And then I go through, there's some people I needed to pray for, and I had some saints to enlist and did my kind of needed that coffee, was a little extra tired, only had a short amount of sleep last night, and just wasn't feeling it, but I was showing up. So you don't have to feel that you have to show up. And so I thought, okay, now it's time to open. And so I open and I think, oh my gosh, what? Why am I reading this? So I'm going to read it to you. Somebody out there needs to hear some of this. And then we're going to take it. And of course, I needed to hear it too. And part of me doesn't want to hear it because I'm thinking, uh-oh, is this something I'm going to need as my preparation for a battle? I don't know. So Psalm 44. Sounded a little dire. It's a long, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but here's the part. Wake up, Lord. Are you asleep? Why do you hide your face and forget we are wretched and exploited? Rise, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your love. Now that kind of fits into the story I told you of the woman who gave away her wedding rings to some guy on the beach. Well, you know, it's like, do you hide your face and forget we're wretched and exploited? When she was relating that story and she felt stupid, she felt like, what the heck just happened? How did I do that? Why did I do that? And then it says to the Lord, rise, come and help, redeem us for the sake of your love. So perhaps the lesson today for her, and again, I don't like to second guess God, like, well, maybe this and maybe that. It's good though sometimes to put those little possibilities on the table and one might resonate. So perhaps if we look at it and imagine and just play for a moment, we can look at that in the example of the woman who gave the rings away at the beach. We can look at that as that when she woke up the next day, or when she started second guessing 2 weeks from then, that maybe her granddaughter would like that. Maybe she didn't have a granddaughter yet. Maybe someday she would. What was she thinking? She can then say, well, where were you in this psalm? Because David did. And we know David would follow these things with joy about the triumphs that were happening as well. So we have a snapshot. If one man can hunt a lion, another man can hunt a lion. It is not just David got his due and we all don't get ours. He is telling you the story of mankind. So she can look and say, wait a minute, where were you when I was, why didn't you just move me the other way? Where were my guardian angels? Why don't I have my rings? Why didn't you go, no, don't do that? And so it's that help inside, like, oh, please, you know, I need to know better. So then here's following part from Psalm 51. God, create a clean heart in me. Put into me a new and constant spirit. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Be my Savior again. Renew my joy. Keep my spirit steady and willing, and I shall teach transgressors the way to you, and to you the sinners will return. So, all right, so let's look at that in the context of our topic today. So here's the question. Let's take the lady at the beach. So you're the lady at the beach, and you're filled with what you think is the Spirit. You give away your rings, and, you know, you can all argue, well, who knows? Maybe that was so much more important because the person bought cancer treatment for their long-lost grandniece or something, and it's very possible. But chances are, where she was and when it happened, it was a con, and that's that other person's path to deal with that in his own life. However, and it could not be a con. However, there she is. She's second guessing. The light is lifted a little bit, and she's wondering, what the heck, and where were you? And now I don't have these. But what that can do is then Psalm 51 follows and says, create a clean heart in me. So clean out my heart and give me a new and constant spirit, so that I'm not banished from your presence and I'm not deprived of the Holy Spirit. And some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, counsel, wisdom, knowledge, be my Savior again. So somehow I kind of walked out of your presence. I got carried away in the moment, so I don't have a few rings, but be my Savior again. Renew the joy that I knew when I really did trust in you. I'm paraphrasing these things for this woman on the beach, of course. Keep my spirit steady and willing, and I shall teach transgressors the way to you, and to you the sinners will return. Now, does that mean that this woman has to go out and set up a little shop somewhere, or put out a shingle and teach the way, or be out on the beach? She's probably, this was 20 years ago I got this story. She's probably in her prayer group. She was a very demure woman. She was not elderly, but she was getting elderly, and by now she's very elderly. And so what does that mean? Did she even think about that story again? She may never have thought about that story again, but she told me that story, and that story's coming up today. And it's making sense to me out of these random readings when I asked for a word that I have today that I can give to you that can nurture and bring out some of your questions that you've given me, but also as a platform to help all of our mental well-being. Because it tells you, it gives you the formula. This is the recipe, God's recipe right here. Clean heart, so you can, in other words, clean out the bowl that had the eggs in it, so you can go ahead and put the sugar in and not contaminate the two, and then fill that bowl with a new and constant spirit. And don't forget about me. Don't banish me from your presence. Don't deprive me of stirring me up. I'm just putting this in the words of a recipe. And then be part of that recipe again. Be my Savior again, so that we can renew the joy, keep this going, and make something actually very beautiful. And how she taught the transgressors is she related the story to me 20 years ago. I'm relating it to you. And one of you is going to be renewed again, as I hope I am too. So I want to then, when we come back from the other side of the break, I want to give you yet another part of the psalm, another psalm. These are all words that just kind of boom, pop, give me a word, Lord. Here it is, 44. Here it is, 51. Here it is, 56. 56 I didn't even ask for. So we're going to get to that on the other way, on the other side of the break, and we're going to tie that together with the mental difference between morbidly introspecting and giving awesome reflection. See you on the other side of the world.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Oh, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're walking with me today, Dr. Michelle, live on our roads. Sometimes, like the psalm says, they are cool, beautiful valleys and by still waters. And sometimes they're really in the shadows, aren't they? They're really rocky. We all learn from each other, and I will never tire of saying that because I always do. All right, so we're looking at how do we listen to the word? We're going to get into this morbid introspection. I love the way that was said. It was actually taken from a book on codependence. And it's a workbook. And it's something that we used a long time ago. And I will find the name of it for you. But I kind of took out a little part of it once because I thought it was a very interesting, helpful way to do it. It's the examination of your own thoughts and your own feelings. And that's what introspection is, correct? And in introspection, we have that examination of conscience before confession. We have that, and that's really just introspection. Now, I did intend today, I want to finish the psalm readings and how they all tie together. But I did want to get into, so I'll get that in the next segment, about some of the Catholic traps that we get into that actually keep us tethered down in our mental health. They can actually fuel depressions rather than work through the depressions we need to work through, not so that we have the goal of being happy, 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 but that we cannot be the best us for God's good purposes and for our own good purposes if we're mired down and under the weight and burden of depression. Our head is down, our shoulders are down. We're not going to carry too many nice loads on that for anyone else in that kind of posture because it's enough to stay alive. Now, don't chastise yourself if you are depressed. If you deal with that, please get help. Please get a therapist. Please see a doctor. Get out of the rut. You need to do that because we need you. Now, but don't take it as you can, when part of depression is guilt, unwarranted guilt. That's actually part of the criteria for depression, is that you're sunk in guilt. You have unfounded guilt. Now, only you will know the unfounded guilt. And you can say, well, yeah, look at these horrible things I did. You may have done something horrible and you may have guilt for that, but you're working toward a whole life here. So if you're stuck in that and you're constantly beating yourself up for that, that's all you're going to do. That's going to be your new life, your new job. And you don't want that. And part of it is a loop, a feedback loop in your head, a habit loop that you're just going to keep going over and over and over and over and over and over. So you don't want that. In the days of old, when they had LPs, long playing records, that were vinyl, hard vinyl discs that you put on a machine that had a diamond needle, and you put the needle on this disc called a record. There were lots of cliches that came up from that, lots of sayings like you sound like a broken record, or that's a skipped record, or don't leave your record in the sun because it's going to warp. These kinds of things that are all about the experiences people had with an actual disc of plastic. See how an inanimate object can give you all kinds of lessons for life. But one of the deals was if there was a scratch, an error, a problem, like sometimes in your CDs or DVDs or whatever, you get a little error in the so that the laser skips and it skips it over and over and over. And in the old days, the record, the skip, you'd be listening to the song, the needle would skip and it would lift up and bounce back over and come back to that place again. Lift up, bounce over and come to the air. Lift up, bounce over, come to the air. So you would hear the same thing over and over and over and over again until you physically got up out of your chair, lifted up the needle, put the needle over on the side, lifted up the vinyl record and looked at it to see if it was a scratch or if it was a piece of something or if it was something you could wipe off. And if it was a scratch, there was nothing you were going to do about that scratch. But oftentimes it's something you can lift off. So in our souls, we've been told there is no scratch too deep. there was an old song. Now that we're talking about old LPs, I think it was the 50s or 60s or something, where there is no mountain high enough, there is no river deep enough that'll keep me away from you. Well, that's God to you. There's nothing you've done. I'm saying nothing. Now, I may not want to eat at the same table or hang out with someone who is facing, you know, in prison for life for killing, serial killing or something like that. It may not be somebody I want to hang out with, but that doesn't mean that that human being is not worthy of God's love and redemption. God has his conditions for that person, his conditions for you too. It's a non-conditional love, but there are conditions to attain it. So that's it. And you have ultimate just chance after chance after chance. I've seen too many die. People die, and on their deathbeds, or even on their deathbeds, I, a stranger, was able to witness all kinds of transformations. So I can only imagine that when I can't see it or someone else can't see it, you know, God's just too big. So I'm getting off on how big God is. We all know he's big. So let's go back to the Psalms. So then we're talking about the woman at the beach. She gave away her rings. Now, this was my word today. So I want to tell you, when you wonder, well, how can I teach? How can my transgression teach others? Because it makes you acutely aware of what happens when someone is facing their trials. And you may not set out to teach anybody anything, but just your words. I will give you an example from my own life. Yesterday, and how random these things are. But first, before I do that, I want to give you the next piece of this little scavenger hunt puzzle. So my three Psalms that I opened up to today when I asked was Psalm 44, a little part of it, Psalm 51, a little part of it, which I didn't write down. And then in my email, a woman that I met when I was traveling in Kentucky sends me emails with a daily devotion. And sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. Today I got Psalm 56, 3-4. It says, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So those together, the first one is like, where the heck are you? Wake up. Why are you leaving me to be ripped apart by these human lions? Did you forget me? What the heck? Why am I exploited like this? The next one says, please help me, redeem me. The next one says, okay, create a heart, a clean heart in me. Put you, constant and new, into me. Give me a new and constant spirit, constant. Keyword constant. Do not banish me from your presence. That means do not make me go up and down, please. That's why you want a constant spirit. Put me in a new and constant spirit. Don't deprive me of your spirit. Renew my joy, my hope, be my savior again. Save me from the place I'm at. And then, because I'm not going to be afraid, because I'm going to trust in you. I will praise you. I will trust in you. And I will not fear, because with all that, you know, really, what do I have to fear? I've already lived certain lives. I've already lived certain ways. I've had people take my rings, as this lady did. He didn't rob her. He conned her out of them. Okay. And that's sometimes when you get conned, whether it's in a love relationship by your own child, because they just want money for drugs and you just want to believe them again, whether it's no matter what it's why you get that, or because you think you're sailing and then boom, you're back down again. Conning is the worst stuff. It's very difficult to deal with. So this is where we want to pray for that constant spirit. So before the break, let me tell you my little story, and then we'll get into this. How do you tell the difference? Morbid introspection and really good, important cleansing reflection. So my story is this. I found off the cuff 3 years ago, walking down the street in a little beach town on my way to Arizona, just completely tired and dejected, and all kinds of stuff was going on. The family, my grandson had just died. And I happened to look in a window and I thought, really? So I was right in front of this salon and I went in and I said, I just pointed my hair and I said, is there anybody And they said, well, here's this woman here. She just happens to have a cancellation. It was a very busy salon. And so here's this beautiful 30-something woman, just amazing, gorgeous. She was like the California quintessential model. She could have been on the red carpet. Sweet as all get out. Beautiful girl. So she takes my hair and she does a few little things. And it was better. It didn't look like I had just put my hand in a light socket. And so she was wonderful. And so I would go back sometimes once a year, sometimes three or four times, depending when I was in town. And recently, more often. And we talk and we do little things. And it's just really, she's just a very sweet girl. So one day I make an appointment and she's not there. And the reason she's not there, she was allowed her people to tell everyone, all her clients, that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she was very young, like she's 30, and just had been married and her life was so good. And so she then allowed people to have her clients to have her email. So I just said, you know, hey, I'm praying for you. That's it. And she just said, thank you. So here we go. And every once in a while, when I feel the inspiration, I made a commitment a couple weeks ago. If I feel it, even if I don't feel it, if I get that inspiration, I'm going to act. So I got the inspiration and I didn't act. And so three times send her a little email, send her an email. So yesterday I send her an email. And I will tell you what I told her on the other side of the break and what she wrote back to me. All right. I am Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You're walking with me on Dr. Michelle Live. Filling up my coffee cup, fueling each other, going on this road. I really thank you for all the input that you give me, all the nourishment that you give me, because it helps others. So please email me, continue on, DM live at breadboxmedia.com. You can also call 573-4-BREAD-4 and text as well. So finish the story, then we're going to get to a little bit more meat here too. So here we go. So as I said, this young lady diagnosed with breast cancer, super young. And, I only know her. She's my hairdresser. That's it. And so we talk, never talk about religion, never, just, she just knows me as some crazy lady with weird hair. And that's all she knows about me. And I know about her. I know about her life. I know about a little bit about where she came from and her family and her husband and her hopes and dreams. And so it's kind of nice. And so I had that inspiration because I made this little promise, and it's not always good to promise, but I made, because sometimes you don't keep it. I made a little inspiration because I had a thing occur where I had a thing in my head. I didn't do it. And then I saw what happened afterward when I didn't do it. And I said, okay, next time, if it doesn't make sense to me, I don't care. I'm just going to do it. So I had that little thought, okay, email her. I hadn't emailed her maybe in a month. And so I just said, just want you to know, I'm continuing to pray for you. And then I thought I was not going to put it in because I don't know what kind of faith base she has. And people get very easily turned off or offended. And I thought, you know what? I don't care about that. Actually, I'm going to tell her what I do how I am praying for her. Not just that you're in my prayers. I want her to be in my prayers. I want her to be in my prayers, because if I really believe it and I just go, oh yeah, you're in my prayers. Well, is she in my prayers? I want her to be in my prayers because she has breast cancer. And I've seen people with breast cancer on all sides of the fence and have family members. And, and the thing is that, my gosh, what a place to be at. So especially in where she is right now in it. So I told her, I said, I told her that I pray and that I enlist Our Lady of Guadalupe for intercession because she's never let me down. Also, St. Raphael the Archangel, whose name means medicine of God. St. Michael the Warrior, because you have a warrior spirit and you need a warrior spirit warring for you. St. Gabriel the Messenger, so that everyone around you and you know your own moves, where you go, that they're all for your best interests, that the doctors are on point, that the techs are on point, the person who draws the blood is on point, that your inspirations are on point, that your guides are on point, that, you know, that all this works to your best health. And I don't know, I said a few other things, and I said I probably gave you more information than you wanted to know, but this is what I do. And I told her also there's a little room I go to that's very Marian, and that's just kind of what I do. And then she's just wrote a little sentence back: thanks, do you know where there's a Catholic church around me? And you know, she's lived here full time longer than I have lately, so I thought, well, that's cool. So I went through my little list, because I tend to be a little bit of a wanderer. So I've gone to several now that I made that list for her. And I said, yeah, I knew in her little area where there might be one. So, you know, you don't know how God's working, how he's going to work. Where did she come from? Was she Catholic? Is she interested in being Catholic? Is she not interested in anything? She just wants to see what this Mary's all about. I have no idea. It's not for me to know. It's just for me to get the inspiration and act. So that's when you do this idea of getting the word. And that ties back to the lady at the beach. It ties back to getting our word. It ties back to our mental health in this way, is that you don't always have to know why. And you have to be willing to let go. You have to be willing to be cleaned out and let that new spirit. But you cannot do that unless you have some nuggets of truth. And some of those nuggets of truth are being aware. Oops, I did that and it wasn't so good, or it was really bad. So how do we know the difference? So in the important reflections in life versus the morbid introspections, morbid introspection is that great term. I took it from a book on codependency that we use a lot for people. And if you're an addict, chances are you're codependent too. If you're not an addict and you're codependent, you're codependent. We talked about that in other podcasts. So, and all of us have more or less on the spectrum a little bit of each, and it can also turn into more. We get more dependent. We get more, we do things. You know what? I'm not going to go into that. This is our last segment. We can go into it again if you want. You can let me know. Also, in my old podcast, we spent quite a bit of time on codependency. So I'm going to read to you. Morbid introspection occurs when a person with a negative self-concept digs through thoughts, motives, and actions with two hopes: to find the wrong in life and change it, or to find what's right about life and therefore feel good about himself or herself. This interior digging is not objective. It does not begin with a sense of value and worth. Rather, it begins and continues with an underlying pessimistic assumption. Something is very wrong with me, and I've got to make it right. With that assumption, self-condemnation dominates the thinking. Hurt and anger are not permitted. They are considered wrong, and so such painful feelings are kept inside. Now, you can ask yourself, you can ask me, and as Catholics sometimes will say, well, are you kidding me? What's wrong with looking through and finding what's wrong and change it, and finding what's right and going for it so I feel better and I can do better things? The key here is that it begins not out of a place of self-worth and value. It comes out of a underlying assumption something's wrong and I have to fix it, rather than opening up, as these three and four Psalms talked about, and seeing, yeah, there's something wrong here, but where are you in all this? What's going on? How do we change it? How do you give me something inside? Give me the right inspiration. And almost every time, God is not a feel-good God. God is not a God who says, you got to feel good. Sorry, you can't have anger. We somehow think with that God, even our religious, our Catholicism, we hear it all the time. There's like this pervasive culture that says you can't feel anger. You can't feel hurt because that's wrong. You got to bear it, take it. It's your cross. Well, you know what? Show me in the Bible where there's no anger. Take out all the pages that have absolutely no anger in them, and let's see how big the Bible is. It's filled with anger and war and vengeance and catastrophes and cataclysmic events. It's filled with them. God is a God of war. He's going to come in fire. There's a cleansing by fire. He takes desert strewn with bones and animates them again. Where do you think the bones came from? They didn't come from a feel-good moment. They came from desecration and desiccation, just dehydration and lack of nourishment. So when we're feeling that way, when we are that way, that's part of all. That isn't just, oh, that's the bad and has to be gone forever. Now, we get confused in our daily life and in our 2016 living that we're supposed to feel good. We're supposed to look good. We're supposed to be all the time. We're going to have our bliss. We're going to have our meditative, contemplative walking around without a sneer, without a smile. And it's never going to bother us when we get cut off in traffic. It's never going to bother us when we're all happy and feeling good and someone's all snarly and we're crashed down in a second. Yes, those things, we will have anger. And there is righteous anger, but there's also the fact that someone just beat you over the head long enough, you're going to be hurt. Now, can that woman feel bad and angry because she be angry at herself because she gave her rings away and maybe she was conned? Yep. Can she be angry at the person who conned her? Sure. That's natural. Now, if you wallow in it, that is when it becomes destructive. Just like for your mental health, complicated grief, the grief that never goes away, the grief that after 10, 15, 20 years, it doesn't mean you won't have anniversary dates and you won't cry your eyes out. You don't get over certain things. We've talked about that last week. Those wounds that are only buried in shallow graves, they're easily brought back. They're easily hurt again. But sometimes they only go skin deep because the core is strong. And we have lesson after lesson after lesson to show us that. And all things will be used. But you have to let go of the need to know what's going to be used and where. And every once in a while, you'll have a little privilege like I did yesterday. I don't know what she's going to do with that. It would be the furthest thing from my mind to think that I'm having this conversation with my hairdresser when I was that day that I was looking in the mirror thinking I look like Grandmama from Adam's Family. And just needed someone to sit in a chair and do something with my hair. And she happened to be the one that had a cancellation. Now, four years later, we're talking about where a Catholic church is. You know, I mean, who knows? Wherever that goes, that's not for me to know. And part of that gives me some joy and relief. And I hope it gives you joy and relief too, that you do need to introspect. You do need to have an examination of conscience, but you do not have to. You should not. It will be detrimental to your health to keep digging for how bad you are, to rejoice in how bad you are, to keep flailing yourself down, because people do that. And that is not what our Catholicism is about. It's about opening up, like the Psalm says, asking for that clean heart and filling with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. This is Dr. Michelle. You've been with me on Dr. Michelle Live. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.